Anyways, so the covered Hanukkah, I think we'll learn about a very interesting Gemara that has to do with Alexander the Great. You guys know who Alexander the Great was, right?
Yeah.
I think he was
a short guy on a horse.
I think he might. The short guy
who
got off the horse.
So, yeah. Basically, you saw the movie 300?
No.
Okay. So basically, in, what?
I saw the day before I can picture.
Okay. So the in that movie, you guys all saw that movie?
No, 3 years ago.
No?
I did not.
You didn't see me, but you heard about it.
Yeah.
So in that movie, the Greeks get beat up, 300 Greeks, they get beat up by a guy named Darius, right? I'm sorry, Xerxes. Xerxes was better known as Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus had a son named Darius. Darius was the child of Ahasuerus and Esther.
Is that a kid?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
His name was Darius. Darius allowed the Jews to come back to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the second base of Megiddo.
Right.
Ezra, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah. What? Yeah. Yeah, but right before that, so. Well, Daniel, Ezra, and Nehemiah. You teed that one too?
Memorize that one.
Daniel, Ezra, and Nehemiah were the last, right? They came over. They built the second base of Mikdash. Now, at the time, the Greeks were a bunch of city-states that were fighting with each other. And basically, then came along an individual named Alexander the Macedonian, Alexander from Macedonia, and he basically united all the city-states and he started his conquest of the world. He fought Darius in two, right? Darius was the king of the world, right? Persia was the biggest empire at the time. He fought Darius in two battles back-to-back, and he wiped the floor with Darius and basically conquered the world. And then, because the Jews were allies of Darius, he turned around and he started to march on Yerushalayim. And basically, Shimon HaTzadik, who was the Kohen Gadol at the time, saw, was told by Eliyahu HaNavi that Alexander is marching with his army on Yerushalayim. And Shimon HaTzadik, basically, this is another Gemara, the old Gemara in Yuma on Daf Samach.
Why
does Alexander say Masachiyahu? Alexander Beis. What?
Why does Alexander say Masachiyahu Ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol?
As opposed to?
It's also
Shimon HaTzadik.
Yeah, Shimon HaTzadik.
Because Masachiyahu was not his son.
Right, I know. Wasn't Yochanan Kohen Gadol?
Yochanan was Kohen Gadol, and his son Masachiyahu was Kohen Gadol after him.
Right, but wasn't this in the time of
Shema
Tzadik? No. Let me give you a little brief history lesson on the times of Hanukkah.
Is the only one thing with the other people trying to get the Jews to be killed?
Yeah. So basically, Alexander was also instigated by a certain group of people called the Kusim, who basically instigated Alexander the Great to try to come destroy the Jews, and Alexander basically marched on Yerushalayim. Shema Tzadik made a Hora Hashah, and he got garbed in the Big Day Kuhuna Gedolah, and he marched with all the Zikmei Yerushalayim out to greet Alexander the Great. Right? And they took torches that were burning in the middle of the night, and they marched on towards Alexander's army. And basically in the morning, Alexander and Shimon HaTzadik met, and Alexander basically, upon seeing Shimon HaTzadik, got off of his horse and bowed down before Shimon HaTzadik, which is obviously not what you would have thought would happen. And so all his generals looked at him and said, Alexander, why are you bowing before this Jew? And he said, because every single night before I have a battle, I see this person's face in my dream, and I know I'm going to win. That was the start of the exile of Greece. That was the start of Golos Yavon. Right? It was very peaceful, no battle. It was a very peaceful, overcoming, very peaceful start. And Alexander actually lived till the age of 32. After he died, he split up his kingdom. After he died, his kingdom was split up between his two generals, Ptolemy and Seleucus. Seleucus's grandson was a person by the name of Antiochus. So that answers your question, Amitai. Is that no?
It was
50.
Two, three generations.
Exactly.
But didn't you say the guy from Syria took over the ones from...
Yeah, that was all, that was all in the in Mississippi. But Alexander had a very, very friendly relationship with the Chacham. So one of the things that Shimon HaTzadik did, Shimon HaTzadik told the Chachamim, Shimon HaTzadik told Alexander the Great that all the boys in that generation would be named Alexander. That's why Alexander became a Jewish name. Right, you have, until today, you have people whose Hebrew names are Alexander. It's very monitoring on the air conditioner in here because even though it's not hot, it's just very stuffy. It doesn't have to be on full blast.
Sun high, which is really the lowest setting.
Great.
High temperature.
Anyways, so the Gemara starts off as such. A very interesting Gemara, but when we understand this Gemara, we might be able to understand exactly what's going on in Chana. Atzar Dvarim, Shal Alexander's Moigdon is Ziknei HaNegev. There were 10 things which Alexander the Great, Alexander the Macedonian, asked the elders of the desert. Amalahem, min ha-shamayim la'aretz rachok, o min mizrach la'marav, which is a greater distance? From heaven to earth? From the earth up to heaven? Or from east to west? Amru lo min mizrach la'marav, so the Ziknei HaNegev, who are not necessarily Jewish, right, they said, from east to west is a greater distance. And what's their proof? Teda. Sharechama b'mizrach ha'kol mistakma, when the sun is in the east, you could look at it. If the sun is in the west of its setting, you could look at it. You could see it, right? It doesn't hurt your eyes. But when the sun is in the middle of the sky, midday, nobody could look at it. Must be the distance is much closer.
That's illogical.
Right?
Makes sense. They can't prove anything anyway.
The Chachamim Oimrim. But the Chachamim told Alexander, they're both equidistant. They put it from a pasuk, just like the distance from heaven to earth is the distance from east to west. Right? So then, you know, the people, the elders of the desert, so why, what was with their reasoning? Their reasoning was that when the sun is in the middle of the sky, you can't look at it. Because there's nothing blocking it. The firmament of the world is not blocking it. The mountains, the clouds, nothing's blocking it. Sitting in the center of the sky, that's why nobody can look at it. Fine. That was the first question. Amr lahem, shamayim nibnu tchila o aret. Which was created first, heaven or earth? Amru, shamayim nibnu tchila. It says shamayim was created first. Shemar bereishis bar elokim es ha-shamayim ve-es ha-aret. Right? First, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Shemayim, then he created us. That was the second question. Amar Lahen, Or Nivru Tchila O Choshech? Which is created first, light or dark? Amar Lahen, Mil Sada Ein Lei Pesach. They said, we don't have an answer to this question. We don't have an answer to this question. Atik Mar asks, which I think is what you're asking, V'nimru Lei Choshech Nivru Tchila, they should have said, Choshech was created first. Why?
That was before anything was created.
And then, Bahadur, no, that wasn't before anything was created. There was a creation. Then it says, V'yomer lakim yihi ar. Then only after that it says yihi ar. So obviously, Choshech was created first. Savri dilma osi v'shiyule malamala matamala malafnim malachar. They thought that if they answered that question, Alexander would start asking them, well, what happened before the world was created, what's going to happen after the world is, you know, destroyed, what's going on up in heaven, and they didn't want to get into that with Alexander. If that was so don't answer him his first question of which was created at first, heaven or earth. They thought that originally he was asking, you know, just a half-stance question. It was just a random question. Then they saw that Alexander had something. He had an agenda. And that's why they stopped answering him. We have to come to understand, what was this agenda? What was he really asking? What were they afraid to answer him? So then he says, that was right, that was three questions so far. Sorry, four questions so far. Amlan, Eden Mitri Chacham, who's called a wise man? So Amrulay Ezel Chacham Aroyas Anolad. They answer back, who's a wise man? Somebody who understands the ramifications of his actions. Who sees the future, but the future doesn't mean that somebody who's a fortune teller. It means that somebody who sees the ramifications of what his actions are going to produce. Amlan Idem Iskra Gibor, who's called a Gibor? So Amrulay Ezel Gibor HaKoyvish is Yitzray. Who's a Gibor? Somebody who conquers his own will. Amalan Eden Mitzray Asher, who's called somebody who's wealthy? Amalan Yazel Asher Asameach Bechelko. Amalan Maya Avid Inish V'Yichya. What should a person do in this world that he should give himself life? Amalan Yomis Atmoy. He should kill himself. But not kill himself, meaning he should lessen his physical pleasures in the world. Maya Avid Inish V'Yomus. So Alexander asked him, what should a person do and die in this world? Yichya Atmo. He should make himself live, meaning he should overindulge. What should a person do and have people like him? Hate positions of kingship and authority. So because I got a better answer than you do. Yirachem Malku v'Shulton v'Yavid Tibu im b'nei Anasha. Right? You should run after kingship and authority, but then do favors for people. Am Lehem. Let me ask a Chachamim. B'yami yo'il emeder o b'yabashto. Which is better to live on? The sea or the dry land? Amrulay biyavishta yoyil meder. Of course, it's better to live on the dry land. Why? The hakol mechusa yama. No sailor like miyasudar tayin al disalkan liyavishta. No sailor, right? His heart doesn't stop beating, like doesn't start palpitating, until he actually lays his feet on dry land again. High seas is not such a great place to be. So Amrulay idin minchun chachem yasi. He says, which one of you guys is the biggest chachem? So Amrulay kulana kechada shavin. We're all equal. The Hakol Milsa, the Amit Lino, the Chatzisrona Locha. He says we all answered together because we all, right, answered you at the same time. We're all equally wise. Amlehen, Ma Din is Risun Lekabli. Why are you forever restraining yourself from being Mekabel us on you? I mean, why aren't you listening to us? Why aren't you doing what we want? So Amulei Tatona Netzach. He says, they said back to him, it's a transient victory. So Amulehen, ha, I know Mekatlim Lel Yatchoin. The Gzeres Malchim, he goes, I can kill you all. So Amulei Shilton Biad Malko, V'lo Yoy Le Malko Kozov. Right, he goes, they said, you can do whatever you want. You're the king, but we're not going to lie to you. He says, Miyad albish yatem levushin de argavon v'shadim min aichud de hava al tavarein. He says, immediately he took them, he garbed them in royal purple clothing, and he put golden chains around their necks. End of the first half of the Gemara.
Why put them in purple clothing but then chain them up?
Not chains, like jewelry.
Oh, all right.
Bling.
Purple clothing was very, yeah, very...
Right, like Malchus.
That was Malchus.
Would be considered royalty in olden days.
What?
Most of them newer would be considered royalty in olden days.
Yeah. Purple clothing?
Okay. And now Alexander probably would have given them all grills.
Grills. What's going on over here? What was Alexander's questions? What were the answers? Well, I was afraid to give him answers at some points. So what we have to understand is that the battle between Yavon, the Greeks, and the Jews was not a battle like we had with any other nation. It wasn't a battle where the Romans came and they wanted to annihilate us. It wasn't a battle where the Babylonians came and they wanted to annihilate us. It was a battle of, you could say, philosophies. A battle of philosophies in life.
When I question our core beliefs.
What?
When I question our core beliefs.
who says they didn't. It was a battle of philosophies. The Greeks believed, right, in the beautification and the glory of the physical. And of course, Clausius believed in the, right, the beautification of the spiritual. Right? And that was the battle. That's why, I think I mentioned this in Azor Open, I mentioned this in a couple of places, but that's why when the Greeks came into the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. They were metama the Beis HaMikdash. When they made the decrees and the edicts on the Jews, they didn't want to kill the Jews. They wanted to assimilate them, make them not special. And so every single one of the questions that Alexander asks, the Chachamim, he asks them questioning the essence of what we believe to be true. Why? When he first asks, the first question Alexander asks the Chachamim is, which is a greater distance? From earth to heaven or from east to west? So first he asked his non-Jewish sages, and they said east to west. And they brought proof. What was Alexander asking?
Who's greater, me or God?
Or, what's a bigger conquest in the world? The conquest that I'm after, or the conquest that you're after? What are you trying to do? You're trying to unite earth to heaven. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to conquer the whole world. Which is a greater conquest? And to that, the Chachmei Noam said, what do you mean? Of course, your conquest, Alexander, is much greater because you can't see the sun. You can see the sun, excuse me, because it's a greater distance. Chacham said, no. The equidistant. Now, what do they mean, equidistant, right? If, obviously, if our way is true, then you would think that the way to heaven, to earth, should be much greater. But the whole point is that that's not what we believe. We don't believe that all we get when we achieve Yiddishkeit is we don't only get heaven. We get this world too. Right? We get both worlds. We don't only get one. And therefore, that's why they said it's equidistant. Yeah, you're right. Both need to be conquered. Both need to be conquered. You got to achieve both in life. But they're both equally important. And you have your proof, okay, I'll take away your proof. The sun, when it's up in the middle of the sky, nothing's blocking it. That's why you can't look at it. Next question. Which one was created first, heaven or earth? Okay, even if you do say that both of them are important, which one should I go after? Which one should I run after first? Should I run after this world first or should I run after the next? I said that Shemayim was created first. Shemayim was created first. And then he says another, a much deeper question. What was created first, Or or Choshech? And on that, the Chacham didn't want to answer him. Because why? Because that question might have generated Alexander to ask, what's going on before the world was created? What's going on after the world was created? What was Alexander's question there? Alexander's question was actually very deep. Because Amitai said, what do you mean? When it says Choshech in that pasuk, there was no creation. Actually, there was a creation. Maral explains that when it says that pasuk, there are four things mentioned in that pasuk, four adjectives. Tohu, bohu, choshech, and tohom. What? And the art is mentioned in the last pasuk. The Maral explains that those four adjectives are representations of four types of evil that were created in the world. We have four types of evil, and therefore there are four cardinal sins. Here you have the three averes that are Yaharag Ba'yavar, Gili Arayi Shechzom and Avodah Zarah, and Yavashim Har. They also correspond to the four Goluses, Bavel, Paros, Umadai, Yavan, and Edom. Tohu is Bavel, Bohu is Paros, Umadai, Choshech is Yavan, And Tahom, which is the depths, is Edom, because that Golas is as if it never ends. Choshech is Yavan. Right? Choshech is the representation of Yavan. Yavan represents darkness. Why? So the Medrash explains why is Yavan represented by Choshech? Because they darken the eyes of Klal Yisrael. They try to darken Klal Yisrael. They try to take away the special glow, special kedusha of Klal Yisrael. And so if Choshech is the representation of what Yavan is, if darkness is the representation of what Yavan is, when Alexander asked the question, which one was created first, light or darkness? He was asking, okay, if you're right, which was created first, us or you? And in that, if a Chacham would have answered him in actuality what was created first, then Alexander would have been posed to ask the question of, wait a second, if Choshech was created first, if your tafkid, if your purpose in this world was so important, why were we created before you? And he would start to ask about God's whole plan in the system. Because yes, Choshech had to be created first, because the void had to be created before we could fill it. But Alexander would not have understood that. And Chazal didn't want to get into that argument with Alexander. And by the way, that R specifically is the R, right? That's not talking about the light that God, the sun, moon, and stars, that Christ Baruch Hu put in the heavens. Which light is that was created on the first day of creation? That was the R Agonuz, right? A light that you could see from one end of the world to the other, the Medrash says. And Akash Baruch Hu saw that maybe the Rosharim were going to get a hold of that light. So what did Akash Baruch Hu do with it? Hid it away. Where? The Tzadikim. Where did he hide it? He hid it in Teresh Shabbat Peh. We know in the Beis HaMikdash, the Aron represents Teresh Biksav. Which keli, which vessel represents Teresh Shabbat Peh? The menorah. The menorah was Or. It lit up all of Yushalayim. What?
That's cool.
Yeah, it said the windows in the Beis HaMikdash, right, were backward. You heard this already. But in all medieval structures, right, if you look at them, if you go around Europe, you find...
Even the walls of Yerushalayim
that were built by the Turks. Right? They're thin on the outside and wide on the inside. For two reasons. A, so you could shoot at it and not get shot at. And B, so that light, when it hits the wall, it then spreads out when it gets on the inside. The windows in the Beis HaMikdash were reversed. They were thin on the inside and wide on the outside. Why? Because the light of the menorah used to light up all of Yerushalayim. The Battle of Hanukkah was a battle between light and darkness. But yes, darkness needed to be created first. That they couldn't explain to Alexander. Next. Who's called a Chacham? Because obviously in Alexander's world, Alexander was a student. You guys know who Alexander's teacher was?
Aristotle.
The most brilliant of all men.
Was he a little boy?
Even though Alexander was a profound womanizer.
That's cool.
Aristotle was, even the Rambam says, one of the most brilliant of all men. So obviously Alexander knew who a Chacham was. He says, according to you, who's a Chacham? I know what I consider a Chacham. Chazal said, who's a Chacham? Somebody who understands the ramifications of his actions, where his actions are leading him. Who's a Gibor? Alexander obviously says, you know, I know who's Gibor. I conquered worlds. Right? Alexander was one of the kings that ruled over the entire civilized world. So they say, is that a Gibor? A Kavish Yitzray. Who's a giver? Someone who beats himself. He says, who's rich? So obviously, Alexander had all the money in the world. Chazal said, no, that's not wealthy. Who's wealthy? Somebody who's swimming after Chalko. And you ever wonder, right? It's obviously, it's a parallel to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says this. You ever wonder why the Mishnah says it this way? Why doesn't the Mishnah just define it in a very simple term? Who's strong? Somebody who's stronger than everybody else.
Just trying to get you to question what society...
Who cares? What, somebody who can beat everybody else up is not strong?
There's so much true happiness, really. You can have all the money in the world, but if you're not happy with yourself, then it's not like you have anything.
Okay, but what's the flaw?
You need something objective as subjective.
What do you mean?
That you can be happy with your portion regardless of everyone's surroundings. Yeah. What's the other side of, like...
Let's take what you're saying and make it a little bit better. Okay? If I'm on a desert island with nobody else around me...
Strength, happiness, and wealth are all subjective.
One second. If I'm on a desert island with nobody else around me, how do I know if I'm strong? How do I know if I'm rich? How do I know if I'm intelligent? Yeah, granted, if I'm smarter than everybody else, it could be that I'm a smart guy. But that's not a true definition of being intelligent. Because if nobody else is around, how do I know what intelligence is? How do I know what strength is? I don't have a true definition of it. It's only, as Mayer said, a subjective way of telling it. So Chazal said that we have an objective way of telling it. It's a way that a person can tell if he's smart, if he's rich, if he's strong, even without any other person on the face of this planet being there. Chachma is the desire to become a chacham. The ability to be able to look at any human being and learn from him. Any creature and learn from him. Wealth is not defined by how much money you have in the bank, but it's defined by an internal sense of completion. Strength is not dependent on whether or not you can beat up every single other person in the room, but can you control yourself? Those are absolute definitions. Then, of course, Alexander asks, you know, what should a person do in this world and he should live? So Chazal say, you think that living means living it up, right? No. You lessen your physical pleasures in this world and then you'll actually be happy. The more that you indulge yourself, the less that you'll be happy. Right? What should a person do and die in this world is indulge yourself. Because if you're into indulging yourself, you'll never be satiated. You'll always be running after something new. What should a person do? And he should be makabel upon people. So they say, don't be a melech, don't be a king, because right, everybody hates authority. So he says, I got a better one. And it reminds me of a movie. There's a movie, a mafia movie, and you know, like the underling asked the mob boss, and he goes, which is better, to be respected or feared? The mob boss says to be feared, because then they'll respect you anyways. You know, so that's what Alexander said. He goes, yeah, then I'll be king, and you know, I'll give people favors. Now, next question is a little bit weird. Where is the best place to live? On dry land or on the sea?
Okay.
Hmm? Oh. What was Alexander asking?
What's his paper? I don't have to do it.
But what does that have to do with anything that he's been mentioning till now?
I guess that's the same thing I'm doing with the Hosha.
Why?
Because it has to do with, like, who's created first and who's greater.
What does sea and dry land have anything to do with it?
Because he has power over the dry land, but, like, the one there, I remember when Bitcoin was one, he's like, when he was coming back to the Roman.
Titus, yeah.
It's the same idea, like, he said he only had all control over the sea, nothing on the land, so I guess, like, which would rather have control over the land or the sea.
The Jews didn't have control of the sea either.
That's what...
Okay. That's definitely an interesting way of looking at it, but let's try to look at it in an even deeper way. The Jews, whenever the Jews are in Gullus, whenever we're in exile, we're always compared to a ship and on a stormy sea. Right? Because it gets bounced around from wave to wave. Each wave comes to try to sink the ship. That's how the Jews are compared to in exile. Many Gemaras, by the way, if you want a little tidbit, for any Gemara, anytime you come across a mussel of sailors and being at sea, it's always talking about Klal Yisrael and being in Galus. Almost always. It's mentioned a few times throughout Shas and Balbasha, they mention Gemara's about sailors at sea. Many, many times throughout Shas. Whenever it's talking about sailors in sea, it's usually talking about Klal Yisrael when they're going through Galus.
About like Yonah.
What?
Yonah.
Also a mussel for Klal Yisrael. That's the Neshama actually going through Galus.
The heaven.
What? There are some Mefarshim that do say that Yonah was more of a Nevuic prophetic dream, let's say. Okay? But the more general pshat is that Yonah actually did heaven. Right? Once you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can perform all the other miracles, what's so hard to believe that he can perform Yonah?
Kind of crazy.
Well?
Kind of crazy.
More crazy than the splitting of the sea? Why?
I don't know. See, you can, I don't know.
You
could split.
See, you could. Please go. Go do it. I'm saying.
He doesn't feel like it right now.
I'm saying, once I got to Baruch Hu before miracles, there were all the mockers in Mitzrayim. Right? Those weren't crazy. Yeah. So once God can do that, what's the hard thing for him to have some guy swallowed by a fish? It's actually funny. I was just reading this the other day. Where was I reading this? I read in, like, I have a Guinness Book of World Records, something similar to Guinness Book of World Records, that there was a whaler in Cape Cod who, I forgot his name, it's written in the book, who basically, they had harpooned a huge sperm whale. And basically, as they brought it close to the boat, what? No. Sorry, Ahab. And when they brought the whale close to the boat, the whale like all of a sudden sprung up and smashed the boat in half, and a sailor fell into the mouth of the whale, and the whale then submerged. Half an hour later, 44 minutes later, the whale came up and spit the sailor out, and the guy lived. So...
Yeah, but that didn't happen.
What? What do you mean it didn't happen?
Like a crazy guy making up a story.
What?
I was used to drive a half hour underwater.
First of all, whales contain air in their bodies. Right? I'm just saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do things, you know? No, it's not just one guy. Obviously, there's all these people that decided to say it. Right? You want to type, as I said, you guys are in the age of intel, of information. Type it in on the internet. Type in Jonah of Cape Cod. Okay, and see what you come up with. Google it. So Alexander was asking the Chachamim, which is better? Fine, great, you say you have this glorious purpose in this world. But which is a better place to live? Where you're living, on the sea, or where I'm living, on dry land? And Chazal reminded, of course it's better to live in Geula. Because all the sailors, their hearts don't calm down until they get into dry land. And so Alexander then asked him, so why are you fighting us so hard? Why aren't you being makabel from us? You see that we're on dry land. You see that we conquered the world. You see that we're the ones in control. And you are getting bounced around from nation to nation, nation to nation. Like sailors in the sea. So why won't you just join us? And to that Chazal answered, Satana Netzach. It's transient. Granted, you think that your feet are planted on dry land right now, but it's only for a short amount of time. And even you will get thrown into the ocean. Alexander died of a common cold, a nosebleed, choked on his own blood. Some people say he got poisoned, this, that, whatever it is. Right? Got drunk one night in conquest, caught a cold, his nose started to bleed, passed out, and died choking on his own blood. Genghis Khan died the same way. Mighty warrior dies from a nosebleed. Chazal said, it's transient. You want us to run after you because right now your feet are planted on dry land? we see very clearly that all this, all the glory, all the glamour, all the superstar stardom that you have is for a very, very short time. So Alexander said, I can kill you. So I said, you could. You're the king. Mel Brooks would say, it's good to be the king. But we're not going to lie to you. So Alexander then took them, and he realized that, and he garbed them with big day malchus. A little more time. You want to finish? The rest of the Gemara is pretty cool. It's not as deep as the first. I mean, it's kind of deep, but it's not as deep as the first half. But we have to understand, by the way, that's what we come when we come to Hanukkah. When we come to celebrate Hanukkah, we have to understand where the battlefield was and where the battlefield still is. The battle with the Yevanim hasn't ended. We still fight it every day. Do you want to let the darkness creep into your life? Or do you want to light the candles? Do you want to be a candle? Do you want to become a nair? And shine. It's not a coincidence that Hanukkah always comes out in the darkest part of the winter. Longest nights.
Australia.
I'm not. Everything revolves around Eretz Yisrael. The rest of the world revolves around Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't make a difference what's going on in the rest of the world. It's interesting. You would think that the darker the, you know, what's the lesson? The lesson is that a person might look at himself and say, fine, I'm going against the tide. I'm going against the whole world. But I'm going against the whole world. How can I do it? Guys are all going to go out to colleges, college campuses. It can be very dark out there. But there's a cool thing about candles and light. The darker the room gets, the more one candle has an effect on it. And that's the lesson of Hanukkah. I think I told you guys in late night learning also. Ner Shubesa. You got to become that ner. To become that light. Here we go. Oh, that was kind of fun. A little bit of fun. So Amar Lahem, so Alexander then said to the Chacham, Bo'ina the Ozla Medina Africa. I want to go conquer Africa. Amar Lahem, Lomotis Adas, you won't be able to go to Poski Harei Choshech. There are these dark mountains. Mountains of darkness that you can't cross. Amulhem loy tzagi deloy azlina. Amtu hachi, mishalina luchu. Right, he goes, if I would have been willing to take no for an answer, I wouldn't have asked you. I want to go. So my Alvin, what should I do? Amulhem, they said to him, I see chame luvoy, you should bring these certain white donkeys. Deparshi be'avar, that they know how to see in the dark. The I see kiburi, the masi, the kata b'hai gisa. Basically, so you take these white donkeys that can see in the dark, you tie a string of thick rope around them, and you let them go through these mountains, and you follow the rope.
You know
what the
mountains are or no?
Nope.
A lot of
Africa. Abad Hachi, Alexander did this, but also, he came to a certain city that was run by all women. It was run by women. They came to do battle with these women. So Amrule, so the leader of the women, came out to Alexander. Says, you're in a lose-lose situation, Alexander. If you kill us, they say, oh, look, Alexander, the big, bad, tough guy, beat up on a bunch of little girls. But if you kill us, if we kill you, Yamru Malka to Kalu Nush, they're going to make fun of you and say, like, look, Alexander, what type of tough guy was he? The women beat him. You're in a lose-lose situation. Don't bother. As I used to always say, whatever an Arab guy would come over to me and be like, yo, Rebbe, let's have an arm wrestle. I said, listen, buddy, I'm in a lose-lose situation. I said, if I beat you, they'll be like, oh, Ristener just beat you. Right? And if I lose you, forget about it. I'm really losing. Right? But why should I do it? Amalahen. So he said to them, isolate Nahama, bring me bread. So isolate the Nahama to the Haba, a person to the Haba. They brought him a golden loaf of bread on a plate of solid gold. So Amaluhu, he said to these women, me ochel inshi Nahama to the Haba. The men eat, in your country, the men eat golden bread. So Amrulay, Elai Nahama boys, like Haba loch ba'asroch, Nahama lemeichel. So the women turned back to him and said, if you wanted regular bread, you came all this way to have regular bread? There wasn't enough bread where you came from? Obviously, you came because you wanted money. Kinafik, when he left the city, Kasev Ababa Demachuzi, he wrote on the gates of that city, Ana Alexander's Moiton, Ha'isi Shatya Ada'osi the Medina's Afrikaid in the Shia V'yalfis Eitza, Min Nasya. He said he wrote on the gates of the city, he wrote, I, Alexander, the Macedonian, was a moron until I came to the city of women in Africa and learned something about life. Yosef Ahu Mayano, when he was going back to Eretz Yisrael, he sat by a certain spring. Ka'achal Nahama, he was eating bread, and Havbiyadu Guldoni de Milchi, he had these certain salted fish. Bahadi de Mechavrilu, when he was washing them off in the stream, Nafu Recha, they came back to life. These salted fish all of a sudden came back to life. Amrishramina Hai Eina Migan Eden Asi. So he said, oh, must be this is one of the rivers that comes out of Gan Eden, right? Gan Eden had four rivers coming out of it. So Idli Kula Ademati Lapisha de Gan Eden. He followed the stream upstream back till he got to the gates of Gan Eden. Rama Kala, he screamed out, Pizkli Bava, open the doors for me. Amulei Zashala Hashem. This is the gate for Hashem, not for anybody else. Amulahon, Ananani Malkana. I'm also a king. Habuli Midi, give me something. Yavulei Gugulasa, they gave him an orb. The Malachim gave him an orb. Asya, he went, Takli the Kula the Haba Vikapa the day, and Lehava Miskele. He went back to his treasury, and he took that orb, and he weighed it against all the gold and silver in his kingdom. And it didn't outweigh it. That orb outweighed all the gold and silver in his kingdom. Amar Lahom the Rabbanan Maihai. He brought him the Rabbanan and he said, what the heck is this thing? I'm like, Gugulasa de'ena de'bisra. It's the eye of a human being. The Lord Kosovo that will never be satiated. I'm a little mimai. How do I know this? Shakli clearly apra v'kase and out there takla. Sprinkle a little bit of dust on it. And immediately you'll be able to outweigh it. And he tried it. And it did. What were Malachim trying to tell him? You think you're going to run around the whole world. You think you have so much to accomplish. You think you're a melech. And you think by you conquering and obtaining all the wealth that you desire in the world, that's going to make you a bigger king. So you know what you get for being a melech like that here? Here's this orb. It's a human eye that will never be satiated by anything that you obtain. It's not real malchus. The proof is you put a little bit of dust on it, a little bit of remembering of where you're ending up. You're ending up in a place of dust and worms. Then immediately you realize how little those physical things that you were running after are really worth.
Why didn't he have this put the final God in your though? We have no idea.
Who says we don't have any idea?
We're done in here?
Who says we don't?
Where is it?
I don't know. That doesn't mean that nobody knows. Some people know where Ganem is.
Yes. Ben found Ben Yehuda.
Nope. On Har Hazeisim.
Yeah, in the world.
There are four openings in Ganem. One of them is on Har Hazeisim. The Chevra Kadisha that's in charge of Har Hazeisim has a Kabbalah of where Ganem is.
There's something about like a well on Har Hazeisim.
Yeah, they have a Kabbalah of where it is, and they won't go anywhere near it. Why? He was there. Who says you're coming out?
What?
Who says you're coming out? Nobody's going to know about it.
It's like a cave.
Huh?
Is it like a cave?
I've never been in it. I can't tell you.
It'd be cool to try to send a robot down there, see if that would work.
Yes, the robot can get down there.
Let's see how long we go before the battery.
But we see that the battle between Alexander and Chazal ended in the same way. But a person has to realize that no matter how much you amass in the world, no matter how much you think that you're a melech, at the end of the day, you sprinkle that little bit of dust. Right? You realize that where you're ending up, it all becomes worthless. Because you can't buy another second.
The end.